Did Jesus exist? Why I don't enjoy reading the mythicists. Written by Bart Ehrman. Read by Ken Teutsch. I've been doing some reading in preparation for a 2-lecture online course called Did Jesus Really Exist? Scheduled for July 19th. You can find out more about it on the website. It's a freebie, so feel free to get it for free. I don't really enjoy this topic, or reading, lecturing, or writing about it, even though I once did, back when I wrote my book, Did Jesus Exist? But unlike most issues I deal with, I didn't find it very interesting or intellectually challenging. Still, it's a topic that comes up a lot among lay people, especially over the past 20 years or so, and so I feel a need to address it on occasion. I've been rereading some of the work of one of the leading spokespersons among the mythicists, the people who argue that Jesus is a completely fabricated myth. In this view, it's not just that Jesus did not do and say a number of things recorded of him in the Gospels or anywhere else, it's that there never was such a person. Jesus never lived. He was made up. Those who most vocally express this view often take serious umbrage, for understandable reasons, when anyone associates them with other conspiracy theorists. I suppose that's not because they do not subscribe to the idea of a conspiracy. Surely the idea that a group of people invented the life of someone who never lived for reasons of their own and tried to convince others of it would be a conspiracy by definition? The umbrage comes because they don't think it's a wild theory to be dismissed out of hand, but has some solid historical grounds. My view is that it doesn't much matter how we classify a theory, as conspiratorial or otherwise. Any theory about much of anything needs to be considered seriously rather than simply dismissed and/or ridiculed. But I have to say, in this case, I find it a tedious and tiresome exercise. The reason is that mythicists tend to present complicated and detailed historical analyses of ancient sources, biblical, Greek, Roman, Jewish, and patristic writings of church fathers, and unless a reader knows a lot about these things on their own, there is no way for them to evaluate the arguments and the evidence used to support them. But to explain why ancient texts, for example, the Talmud of Josephus or of heresiologist Epiphanius or the author of 1 Clement or Tacitus or take your pick of the ancient sources, cannot be used in the way they are being used and to show why they are problematic in general and are not trustworthy in one case or another, or are perfectly trustworthy in other cases, or to show why an argument simply doesn't work for reasons that would not be obvious on the surface, all this takes an enormous amount of time and energy to explain. Where does one start in explaining why the heresy hunter Epiphanius at the end of the 4th century does not provide good evidence that the original Christians in Jerusalem 300 years earlier believed that Jesus was crucified in 75 BC. That's right, 105 years before Jesus is thought to have been traditionally killed. It can certainly be explained why Epiphanius is not saying that and cannot be interpreted to mean that, but to do so takes pages. Literally, pages, to describe who Epiphanius was, what his project was, to show why his theological views drove his historical claims. He was not a disinterested observer of heretical Christian groups. To show why his accounts are seriously problematic as historical descriptions, and how frequently he makes mistakes and/or exaggerates beyond credibility. What the problems are with his description of this particular group of heretics. What his grounds of knowledge are for this group, why this group cannot be seen as standing in historical continuity with the earliest Christians in Jerusalem, 300 years earlier in a different part of the world, what the counter-evidence is to show what those Jerusalem Christians really believed, including what our sources of information are, what they say, and how they can be corroborated, and on and on and on. It would take hours to write it all up. And it would be in response to a claim found in a single paragraph. How do you deal with a book that is, say, over 500 pages that has paragraph after paragraph of that kind of thing? The only way to deal with it adequately would be to write a response of 2,000 pages, and then when the response book of 3,000 pages comes out, you would need to explain the problems with the explanations with a book of 4,000 pages. I imagine you think I'm exaggerating. I'm not. That's why I find this kind of project frustrating. To show its flaws in full detail would take years. And to what end? To show there really was a man, Jesus, who was crucified by the Roman governor Pontius Pilate, as opposed to an archangel who was crucified in outer space? Literally, one of the common mythicist claims. The reason you don't see a lot of New Testament early Christianity scholars, Christian, Jewish, atheist, take your pick, take on this task is the law of diminishing returns. The mythicists I know find that irritating as all get out, and I understand that, but I'm afraid it is simply the reality. Anyway, I did deal with the issues in my book, and even though the preparation for this course is not the most energizing work I've done in a long while, I'll enjoy giving the lectures and answering the questions in the Q&A because I love communicating knowledge with broader audiences, and there are few things I'm more intellectually inclined to do than dealing with evidence and evaluating argument, even when I find doing so a bit frustrating and enervating.